Welcome to the Gravitational Podcast. Today, we are joined by the incredible Gabby Beckford. Gabby, welcome to Gravitational.
Thank you so much for having me. I know this is going to be a fantastic conversation. We were already vibing so much before the camera started rolling. And yeah, I know we're going to dig into some fun stuff today. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. We were talking earlier about how crazy it is that we ended up actually in the same place at the same time.
No, same zip code is crazy.
It's astronomical.
Probable.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Insane. You have such a cool story, which is why I'm so excited for this. Plus, who Gabby is.
Right. What's not on the LinkedIn resume? I am a travel influencer by trade now for the past 3 years. I am a full-time traveler, digital nomad, recently based in New York City. That's actually kind of an announcement as of like 60 days ago. I'm now based here. Thank you. So excited. I have a SaaS platform. I do a lot of like travel education opportunities. Talk about living with curly hair and traveling full time. We'll get into that, I'm sure. And yeah, my whole thing is I want to help women live a life of adventure on their terms. Period.
I love that.
And blank.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm sure I've talked about this at some point, but I'm an expat, and so I joke that like I live my life on planes,
right?
Which I think is why I vibe so well with your content, and it was hilarious. Because I've been following you since probably like 2019.
Yes. OG days.
Yeah. So was following you there, amazing, love, obsessed. Being at every accomplishment. Fast forward to 2022, one of my clients is playing in the US Open.
Okay,
and casually. Yeah, exactly. And I end up with a bunch of tickets, connected with a friend and was like, hey, we're gonna collaborate, right? That's how I ended up meeting Anaya. She was one of my guests.
Oh,
and so,
my cousin.
Yeah, shout out to Anaya. So you then did an Instagram Live.
Where we later, discovered each
and
other.
And I was like, sorry, what? And so just crazy, like.
Kismet.
Exactly.
Literally.
And now here we are.
Wow. And it's just gaggy because the story of how I actually met Anaya, if you saw that, was also absolutely unhinged. Kismet.
Yeah.
Like, she's not my first cousin. We went to barbecues together growing up. I met her randomly in a different country, and we found out later we were cousins. So, in here right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, butterfly effect.
No, literally.
Reference to
you. There we go. Yeah. I wish that was a brand part. No, I'm so glad you said that. No, it's
exactly.
Not.
No, we'll send this to you so you can get the partnership before it goes live, and then we can plug. Yeah.
Let me get the good.
Okay, so tell us about that. How did you and Anaya find out you were cousins?
Jeez, what a crazy story. So the long and short of it was 2021. 2020 had stalled my plans to travel full time. I don't know if you heard there was a pandemic.
I saw something about that somewhere.
Right, yeah. It was like really like local thing. 2021, traveling full time. I had just flown into like Italy, and I had no plans. I had a month there. I was in Milan, and I posted on Instagram, I think, like, hey, anyone who knows me relatively in the area? And she responded, I think, just saying, like, hey, I live nearby. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, I would love to, like, come out to you, an hour train ride, visit you. We hang out. We kiki. We become good friends. I'm like, oh, my God, you're Jamaican. You have New York roots. I'm Jamaican. My dad's from New York, too. Small world. I think literally the first time I met her, I was like, wouldn't it be crazy if we were, like, cousins or something.
That's so funny.
And it's not that crazy to have a Jamaican in New York, actually. So we said that for fun, but not unlikely. Fast forward a year later, I'm on 23andMe with my actual sister, scrolling through it in Mexico, and I see a name, and I'm like, Anaya, I'm like, and I send a screenshot to Anaya, I'm like, girl, this girl has the same spelling as your name. Isn't that cute? She's like, no, that's my full Gubby. Like, that's me. Maybe that's me and your 23andMe. Like the little numbers, I'm like,
right.
And I click on it, and we're third cousins.
That's so funny.
And I'm at her wedding the next year, baby shower the next year, like, and now we're full cousins.
That's so funny.
This small world, by chance.
Right. And the fact that, I guess there's something in the blood of your family about, like, the travel bug.
That she's a travel influencer, too.
Insane.
I was gagged.
Like, what are the chances? Crazy.
But at the same time,
it kind of makes sense
for the plot.
Like, it tracks.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And then that's, like, the story of my whole life is, like, that makes no sense, but I'm going to go with it.
Yeah. I think that's a fantastic lead into what you're doing now. Very different from where your career started.
100%.
Okay, so talk to us about that. What, for those who are not familiar with your story.
Yeah.
What did you go to school for? What did you come out of school doing?
Right. Yeah, that's a journey in and of itself, too. So I Went into college, biomedical engineering major. Kiki, but I hated it. So wait. So I graduated, ended up graduating with a statistics degree. Became an engineer anyway. Actually, that worked out. Because, like, why was I suffering to become an engineer? Like, any degree can make you an engineer. I found out that later. I'm like, I'm so glad I did that. So became an engineer. Did that for 2 years. That also sucked. I was commuting, like, 4 hours a day. I was in a building with no windows, literally no windows. I would go in at 5 a.m., work all day, no windows, leave, the sun had set, 6 p.m. In the winter, I had days without sunlight. Like, I was like, wow, this is 23, huh? This is
our life. Vibes are not vibes.
Like, oh my God, Pam, wait, this is the prime time of my youth, and I am a shell of my former self. This is weird. So that's when the plotting, I had, like, PaxLight was just a side hobby. It was a side hustle, really. I was making, like, maybe $500 a month consistently-ish. And I was like, wait, we need to scale that up because this cannot be the 20s. This cannot be the plot. Like, yeah. I do everything for the plot. This is not a good story. This sucks. I was like, I don't care about the money. This is a horrible story.
Right.
So I ramped it up, and by 2020, literally February 2020, foreshadowing, I was like, quit my job. I'm making $1,000 a month now. We're going to go full-time. And yeah, pandemic hit. But that was me before. Was it Girl in STEM? I got my first job at NSBE, National Society of Black Engineers, love it. Baya, like, I was a girl in STEM, in government STEM. Like, I was like, DC coded.
Yeah.
And then now, like, 180.
So you were almost a special agent.
Yeah, no, I was in CIS, right.
And you, I feel like you kind of are in a way, still.
You know, I have been held up at security airports before, like, are you a spy?
Exactly.
Sexy of you to think I'm Carmen Sandiego. No, please don't arrest me. Right.
Exactly.
Other end of the spectrum. But yeah,
right.
In a sexy way, though.
Right. I can see it.
Right.
I can see it. Yeah.
Government, please, I'm not a spy.
Exactly. No, she's not a spy. And when she's randomly selected at TSA, it's actually not random. We're used to it.
They're expected. No, exactly.
Yeah, it's just, if I can plan for it, but it's not random, is it?
Exactly. No. It's less sexy than the story.
Exactly. Love it. No, I love what you said about the plot.
Yeah.
Because I say that all the time. I have always said, I'm like, I'm doing it for the story. Like,
no, yeah.
For me, it's all about the stories. Like,
right.
Duh. Where have you always been a storyteller? Like, where did that come from for you?
Oh, what a great question. I have always been a yapper. Like, chronic yapper, trouble in school for talking too much. Like, I think when I was a kid, you could say I lied to my parents sometimes. Not because I was a bad kid, but because the truth just wasn't that interesting. Like, what'd you do at school? Nothing. Babe, no. Let me tell you. A kid died.
What?
No, that's not true. I'm sorry. But I'm like, come on. Like, we're, like, please. So yeah. I've always been someone who loves, I love entertainment. I love being for the plot. I love, like, why do the boring thing when I could do the adventurous thing?
Yeah.
So I've always had that in my personality. But at the same time, immigrant dad drilled into me doctor, lawyer, engineer, financial security, kind of sadly scarcity mindset about money, like, this is your last dollar, don't waste it.
Right.
Don't. I'm like, so really, like, had
and
to,
like, but I
want
to, I booked the
for fun. Oopsies. So I mean, honestly, having immigrant dad, love my dad, has kept me, like, financially smart. So I graduated without student loans. That's, like, a huge, I, like, credit that to a lot of the freedom I've had past graduation, because I just haven't had to worry. I avoided stress. So that's been great. And, like, not going into credit card debt. Like, stuff like that, travel and, like, Kiki, I'm going to travel around the world can get you into really easily. Luckily, I've been able to avoid, like, I really do credit a lot of my success and, like, even just lack of stress to that, because money stress, not cute. But, yeah.
So you are, I was having this conversation with somebody else who was like, I don't know if I consider myself a founder because she has a podcast, a wildly successful podcast, mind you, like,
love.
The high ranking, like, she's not, it's not a, like, side gig. But she's like, I don't know if I consider myself a founder. So do you consider yourself a founder?
You know, being chronically on LinkedIn, it kind of is something that you have to consciously decide within yourself that, like, no, what I'm doing is not have to be compared to, like, the Hinge founder the Fortune 500 company. Like, I have a startup and I am a founder. So yes, I am. But I would say that I had to convince myself to claim it too.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. Being a woman of color, being a black woman. That's a question people ask you a lot. Like, are you sure you're a founder? You're like, don't gaslight me. Yes.
Right. Yeah. That's my belief is if you've started your thing.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, and you're standing on that, and you're building that, and you're enjoying it. Like, yeah, you're a founder. And arguably, even when you're not enjoying it, then that makes you more of a founder.
I'm paying taxes like a founder. I'm employees like a founder.
Yeah. So you get to wear that proudly.
I do.
Yeah. So, do you have entrepreneurs, founders in your family? Are you the first? What does that look like for you?
That's a great question. I think that my dad, for sure, being Jamaican, 13 jobs. Like, always had 13 jobs, always had side hustle, always hustling for like the financial security. So when I, like, my dad has his own business now, but he started that when I was out of high school. So I was 18 when he like officially launched his LLC, and it's Government Contracting, the DC world we grew up in. And now it's wildly successful, like $1 million company. Shout out to my dad.
Yay.
So yes, he's an entrepreneur. Yeah. Shout out to daddy. Yeah. He's an entrepreneur. My mom too has entrepreneurial things. She does a lot of stock trading stuff. Like, my mom. And it's funny because both my parents are pretty young. They had me at 21 and 23, I think. Love them both, but we have kind of grown up together. Yeah. By the time I was 18, I think they were placed mentally where they're like, oh, we should investigate like entrepreneurship. So it's been kind of cool that I've seen them develop in their own entrepreneurial journey while I have too. And yeah, I think my dad was a little, when I first was like, I'm gonna quit my job. Yeah. I got my job, you want? Yeah, I'm gonna quit that.
Yeah.
Like, dummy? But now he's on board. He's drank the Kool-Aid. He loves it.
Yeah. So does he pack light as well when he is he a traveler?
He is. He was in the military.
Okay.
17 years old, he joined the military. Yeah. So he's always traveled for work. I think he has a little travel bug for fun inside of him.
Yeah.
But he's not afraid to travel. He does pack his bags. Actually, my dad remarried my stepmom, who's from Japan, and they go back to Japan every summer.
Nice.
So they do travel. They pack heavy as
Probably not team carry-on.
Six bags. But they're bringing stuff back, too. So
it's the way I have never met an airline that I would have that much faith in.
Okay, because statistically, two are gone. Right.
Absolutely.
2 weeks later.
Like, as soon as you check them.
No, right.
You see them on the belt, and then they disappear before they even get to the back.
Yeah, yeah. You see someone, a stranger, be like, yeah.
Exactly.
You know, right.
You're like, that's how this is. Yeah.
Right. But no, yeah, they pack heavy.
Yeah.
I didn't get it from them.
Yeah. And so you'll keep doing your work, and we're trying.
Trying to start grassroots at home.
Yeah, right.
It's not, in fact, working.
You're like the image. We've got to keep up the optics. You're not.
The optics are not optic right now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's okay. We'll zoom out. We won't look too closely.
Please, we're essentially censoring this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, so you are now based in New York.
I am, as of less than 2 months ago.
Why here?
What a great question. So I've been traveling full-time digital nomad for the past 3 years, since that January 2021 traveling. Yeah. And I have loved it, really. Like, that's how I've met Anaya. That's how I've grew a lot of my following. That's how I've had bucket list adventures. Oh my God, Day of the Dead in Mexico and New Year's Eve in Dubai and just all this stuff, like bucket list. But it has been tiring too. Like, and it's not even the actual travel, because I don't mind a flight. People are like, flight, flew me out of a suitcase. That's actually not the worst part. The worst part is the mental load of being by yourself and having to think, what am I going to eat today? What am I going to do tomorrow? Who am I going to meet tomorrow? Am I going to work tomorrow? Where am I going to be next week? Oh, I need to get mail. The mental load of existing solo as a woman is like already there, let alone traveling full time around the world, visa. Oh my gosh. So that's been kind of, okay, it's less fun than that. That part is less fun than it was before. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be part-time digital nomad, have an apartment, keep all my stuff in it, and be able to just, instead of just have one, kind of go back to it.
Yeah.
So that was the plan, and JFK just makes sense as a major hub to fly in and out of. That's the hub I was always flying in and out of the most. But also New York City, I think mental health-wise, as someone who loves traveling, it's like you're traveling when you're here. I walk down the street, I hear Russian, I hear French, I hear Swahili. My neighbor is from Côte d'Ivoire. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
You're keeping the vibes going. You can get any food you want. That's really it. It was like mental health and logistically. This makes sense. Financially, no. Very expensive here. But that's okay.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's because it's for the story.
And that's, I'm here now.
Exactly.
I couldn't do this if I wasn't here.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. I feel like it's the things that are, like, so obvious about the constant travel.
Yeah.
You're like, no, like, it's actually not. Like, I knew when I started this that I was going to be on flights. I knew when I started this that I'd be living out of a suitcase. But it's the other stuff of, like, I need to do paperwork.
Answering, where do you live?
Exactly. Exactly. The last minute hotel bookings, which are sometimes fun, but like
sometimes
much more
not.
When somebody else
receiving
is
receiving mail.
Yeah.
Dating.
Exactly.
That's a lot.
Girl, let's talk about it.
Oh my God.
Let's talk about it. Because I always get is everybody's always like, oh my gosh, that should be so much fun.
Yeah.
Like you're all over all the time. And I'm like, right. But the way my brain works, in certain scenarios, yes.
No, it's great for the plot.
It's great for the plot.
To a point.
Exactly. I feel like it doesn't carry over to the next chapter.
It does
not.
So
what are your thoughts?
I agree with you 100% that if there's layers to like fun, intimacy, even just the things you do. Like, yeah. I would like to travel and know someone long enough to be like, oh, we should go on a trip together. But, like, a few days, a few weeks in and out, like, am I telling my friends about you when I'm going to be leaving in a week? No.
Exactly.
Like, I don't get to have the kiki as much. Or I dated someone, actually, when I was traveling full-time, but then it has to be long distance because I'm not going to stop for a man, please.
Right. Long the flights are already booked.
I'm so sorry. So you book the flight or we're long distance, which right. I tried. But, yeah, no, you just, yeah, it's, I mean, maybe it's the age range we're in, too, that I haven't met a man yet who also has the same mindset of, like, let me right. travel full-time. Let me work yeah. for myself. Let me yeah. have a flexible schedule, like, the same priorities.
Yeah.
Who's also gorgeous, so I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right. Well, right. I mean, exactly. I've always made the joke that I have to want to take pictures with you.
No, but...
Like, social media aside, like, right. fundamentally...
Like, for our children...
If I have to preface, when you know the preface you do when you're showing, you're about to show the picture to your friends, and you're like, it's wait, a bad wait, picture.
Okay,
it's
just
not his angle.
I no. can't defend it like that.
No.
No. No. Right.
You have to be able to hold your own. Yeah.
Right. I need them to be like, well, it's perfect. And I'm like, oh.
He must be nice, right?
He like, looks kind.
Yeah. He's got kind eyes. No. Can't do it.
Right. 100%. So dating, yeah, the brand of guy I found who's also a traveler right now is not looking to, like, settle down right now. Kind of backpacky, which isn't the vibe right now.
No.
So, yeah, maybe we'll see. Because I'm in New York now, but I might be full-time digital nomad again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not... People are like, oh, she retired.
Yeah. Okay, first of
relax,
all...
Relax, babe.
I didn't say that.
I'm in my head down, like, in the global streets sooner than we think.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like there are already flights booked.
Currently.
Yeah.
Right.
So... It's a matter of time. Yeah.
But
yeah.
for now, I'm enjoying it. I mean, this summer, actually, I canceled all my trips for June, July. Because
okay.
I want to be in the city.
Yeah.
I want to be in the apartment. I want to, like, yeah. do stuff like this. I want to yeah. be available and be around. So
yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
That's so exciting. I'm looking forward to that in this next chapter. Because I feel like when, like you were saying, people are like, oh, where do you live? And I'm like, well, on paper, I live in Portugal.
Legally. Portugal.
But... Here I am. So, like, you do the math.
I'm like, and that's the other thing is I feel like if you're not talking to a traveler, it's like, okay, are they asking where I'm from? Are they asking why I'm brown? Are they asking
right.
where they can send mail? Like, what are you actually
right.
asking?
What information do you need from me?
What are you looking for?
Exactly.
Right.
Or backwards.
Where am I most often?
Right.
Or where did I live the long? Like, what do you want?
Exactly.
Why are we not doing
exactly.
here?
Let's ask a better question.
Let's ask... Better questions, actually, than I want
yeah.
them to be confused.
Yeah.
But actually, now just saying, I live in New York.
Yeah.
It's a nice, we can move past it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We cross that off and move on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you are a notorious solo traveler.
I am. Love it.
Obsessed.
Right.
Yes. And so I had a trip that solidified that for me.
Okay, tell.
So I did a month-long, like, Europe trip. This was... 2 years, I think, after we moved there. And I was like, this is so cute. I've lived in Portugal for 2 years, based in Europe, and I have seen Portugal, the inside of Schiphol, and the inside of CDG. That's really it. Any other European country I've seen has been from vacation before I moved here. I'm not gonna leave living in Europe and have traveled more in the States than I have Europe.
Not a great story.
So I was like, no,
right.
We're carving the time out. This is what we're gonna do.
Yes.
So did that with friends. I love the idea of it, too.
The idea of it was great.
It was on that trip about 5 days into the month and change that I was like, I'm a solo traveler.
You were like, I've been here 1 minute.
Yeah. So I am curious, did you always, like, your first big trip was a solo trip.
Yeah.
So what did that look like for you leading up to it? Was that a, like, well, I'm not about to wait for somebody else to book the flight. Like, I'm going for the story. Like,
right.
And how has that evolved?
Right. That is a great question. So my first solo trip, I was 17 years old. I had just graduated high school, like 1 month out of high school.
Yeah.
And I had just been accepted to a university like 2 hours from home, like in the same state. So I'm like, like right here. That's great. That's a terrible story. With them. So I was like, what can I do this summer to like better plot? But also like I wanted to, like I went to high school in Stafford, Virginia,
okay.
which is, you've never heard of it? You're blessed. That's like small. There was a gigantic Confederate flag hanging over the highway.
Yeah.
Like that was the vibe.
Yeah.
Not fun.
We love.
Right.
Obsessed.
Like country pumpkin chic.
Yeah.
Pumpkin chic. So I was like going to college. And I'm like, I need something that's going to like, just for myself, I want my eyes to be open to opportunities. Like when I go to travel, like when I go to college, I want to travel more. I want to meet more worldly people. I want to discover more about myself. I just now want to go into it with the mindset of like, everyone here is hillbilly, or like, no, I'm not going to make friends. Like whatever that I wanted to shift my own mindset. So I was like, what better way to do that than really just shock the system? Like that was the solo trip for me. And yeah. I did not ask anyone to go. I did not want anyone to go with me. I wanted to go by myself. I chose Iceland specifically because I knew it was safe. Mm. Like, they don't even have snakes or spiders. Like, it's literally sheep outside and then human beings. So I'm like, okay, we're great. And it's, yeah, it's like, I think statistically, if not number one, number two, safest country in the world. So I'm like, okay, statistically, we're going to be all right. So yeah, that's why I chose it. And I went there, I went backpacking, met an entirely new group of people. It was hard. Like, everyone's like, how was it? Was it beautiful? No, I hated it. It was so cold. I hate the cold. Why did I choose Iceland?
Yeah.
It was freezing cold. It was blistering wind, scorching desert. It was rough. There were times where I was crying at night. There were times where I was like, I'm not a backpacker. I'm like walking up these gigantic volcanic mountains. Like, what am I doing here? Yeah. I ask myself that probably every 5 minutes. Yeah. What am I doing here? Why am I by myself? Why am I the only black girl? Why am I the youngest by 5 years? Like, what am I doing here? And like, actually now looking back at it, it gives very much like pilgrimage. It was like Moses parting the seas. Like, it was my origin story in the making, and I didn't even know it, but something inside me told me I needed to go through that journey of like, what am I doing here? Like, that was the question. Like, I never actually thought about that. Like, that was the question I was asking myself, and maybe it was in a broader sense of like, what do I want from life? Like, where are we going from here? And it was exactly what I needed. And by the end of it, I remember thinking, this was hard. This was so hard. But I would rather do this 10 more times than go back to Stafford, Virginia. Like, and that was what clicked in my head. Like, ooh, we like challenging ourselves. We like growing. We like, if I did this again, I think it would be easier, actually. I feel like I've grown as a person. That was, I think, the thing with the solo travel is, like, I don't know what I need, but I know I'm not going to find it here. We got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something so magical about the person that you have to be, the version of yourself that you have to become. Mm-hmm. I feel like, yes, your first solo trip for sure, but every solo trip you take, you come back a new person in some form. What do you think are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned in your solo travels?
One of my favorite things about traveling solo is that you have choice. You do have freedom. That I can land in Bangkok and be like, I was really crampy and pissed off the last destination I was in. I was, like, not friendly to people. I was not talking to, like, the cashier. I was like, thanks, bye. And I could literally, upon the plane landing, I decided for myself, I'm going to be the most friendly version of myself here. I'm going to meet everybody. I'm going to make new friends. I'm going to go to the hostel bar. I'm going to go to the events. Like, I'm going to put myself out there. And you can, like, who's going to tell you that you can't? Who's going to be like, well, that's not you? Like, really, with that attitude, like, no, I get to decide the new version of myself at every single step. That is so freeing for me. And I think that I take that back with me now when I'm in the US. Like, I can be having a bad day and be like, I simply decide that I'm having a good day now. And I've trained myself that, like, you're the master of your own destiny type stuff. So I think that's a lesson that you can say you understand, but until you trial and error it and, like, really do it for yourself and choose your fate over and over again like that, you never really see, like, wow, I control my life really in so many ways. I think a lot of society or a lot of people think like, oh, things happen, or like, you know, go with the flow, or like, if you can't change it, accept it. And I think after solo traveling, I'm like, we have so much power. We have so much power over ourselves, over what we want, over our boundaries, over like our direction of our lives. I feel like I have a lot stronger vision. Like that's the biggest lesson is like, if you have a vision, it's probably right there. If you can own it and like take responsibility and be like, yeah, I do want to do that. I'm going to go do it.
Yeah. I saw a quote the other day that I think has like quickly become one of my new favorites that says, you want it because your future self already has it. I was like, I love that. Like, I love that. And I feel like that fits so perfectly with what you were just saying. Like, the reason that if you already have the vision, it's because it's like it's right on the other side of like, yeah.
Future you is like, babe.
Yeah,
like
we already have it.
Follow this.
Exactly.
That's exactly it. Exactly. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I love that.
How have you taken this approach to leading your team? Because you're also, we were talking about, obviously, you are a founder.
Yeah.
And I think I always laugh when people are like, if you like open a headquarters, like where are you going to be based? And I was like, ha ha, funny. How do you approach team culture, mindset? Like, yeah. What does that look like?
Yeah, I have a fantastic team and it has taken a long time to build. So that's the first thing is like, we're all remote. I'm on different time zones. Yeah. They're fully remote. Like my right hand, she was just in Chile and Argentina for like 3 weeks. And I'm like, I can't even be like, well, you're out of the office, babe. There's no office. I'm in Japan. So yeah, it's a lot of communication. It is a lot of time in like investing in the right person and people. I have personally wasted a lot of money in like hiring based on a resume and then be like, not a culture fit, or hiring for the culture fit. They don't have the skills, or like just a lot of trial and error in hiring people. But once you find that like magic person who loves the mission, who understands the vibe, who just like really is competent and yeah, just like picks up things quickly, asks you questions, manages upwards, it's huge. So really, I think it is just the discipline and boundaries of like finding the right people who want to be there, who wanted to go on that journey with you. And then systems in place. I'm a Notion babe. I'm on automations, babe. I'm actually working, like, we hired an automations consultant to come into the business. Nice. And be like, what are we redundant?
Yeah.
What are we doing? What am I doing manually that could be automated? Like, and that's it. Efficiency, automations, like, AI is big right now. Like, where can I be trimming the fat of I'm doing menial stuff that a machine or an assistant could do? That's been huge.
Yeah. Does that perspective and insight, you think, come from your engineering background? Or is that like, I feel like it's an interesting mix because efficiency is like, you gotta be efficient as you're traveling, especially the way you were traveling, right? So I feel like it's an interesting mix of like your engineering background, but also in like practice day in and day out of like, we're playing Tetris with a carry-on, you know? So, like, where do you think that message is driven home for you?
No, I love that. And I think there is such a crossover there that I rarely get to talk about, that I have a Scrum certification as an engineer. It's, like, agile. Like, it is about thinking strategically and, like, working with systems and everything like that. And then literally the whole ethos of Pax Light is like being extremely intentional about what you bring in your carry-on, packing light, like knowing that, like bring the stuff that matters and leave the stuff that doesn't. Like it is kind of the same strategic, but like kind of intuition-based mindset. So yeah, there's a lot of crossover there. And I do think I credit being a girl in STEM to that. I think it is like scientific method, like just really being disciplined, creating templates. And I think it sometimes as a creative outside of the scientific engineering of it all, it can feel like you need to like recreate the wheel, or you need to be creative in everything you do. Like I need to be original. I need to like, what's new about this? And I think the engineering side of me shows me that like, once you get the systems in place, you can be creative on top of that. But you should not be recreating the small menial stuff. Like not every email has to have a new beautiful intro. It can say hello and you move past it.
Right.
So yeah, stuff like that. That's the mindset for sure. Also the STEM girls.
Yeah. We love a girl in STEM.
We love a black woman in STEM. Me too.
You have become, I think, the queen of PTO.
I think so. I would say.
Yeah. I'll let you explain. But, okay, talk to us about what does PTO stand for in the Pax Light world? Let's start there.
Right. So PTO, paid travel opportunities, not paid time off, though there's a lot of alignment there because I'm paying you to take time off, or like a company's paying you to take time off, but it's not the company you work for. So let's say a paid travel opportunity for me was when I was working full time, I found a cultural exchange to South Korea. It was fully funded. It had a scholarship. It paid for flights, food, accommodation, activity, everything. And people were like, why would people pay for me to go on vacation? And I'm like, yeah, the thing is, it's not quite you peeking and like doing nothing. Like I was in Korean language classes. I was going to cultural sites. I was like, it's a cultural exchange program. So there's a lot of intent behind it, but it was a free trip. So that's what I consider a PTO. And I think that those opportunities, whether they're cultural exchanges or travel contests or like baby study abroad or whatever, if they're funded, they just allow a lot of access to people who may not otherwise have a reason to travel, a way to travel, or the confidence and the logistical skills to travel. Like, I want to take a big trip. I'm 20, let's say. I have no idea where to start. A PTO is the best way to start. And that's why that was me.
Yeah.
When I like started this, I started the PTO dashboard when I was, I think, a year out of like a year graduating from college, about to graduate from college. And I was like, I am broke and I want to travel. How do they meet? Like, where is the reality in which I travel? And I found kind of this way to do it. And that's why I started collecting them and sharing them. And now I've helped like hundreds of people win hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of just travel experiences specifically. Yeah, I would say I'm the queen of paid travel opportunities.
Yeah,
I invented it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so. And that was something that was so eye-opening for me when I first found your blog and the work that you were doing. I was like, why was nobody talking about this before?
Right.
Like, explain. So no, I love that. And congratulations on all that you've, I feel like you've grown so quickly, but I also, I'm sure that you feel like it has not been that quickly.
I'm like, quicker.
Yeah, right. You know? But no, it's been so cool seeing Pax Light taking over, and especially like, I feel like the whole like girls travel world.
Yeah.
You've been a very heavy influence in. So it's been really cool to see that.
I so appreciate that. Like last year, so I find PTOs, like I said, the culture exchange, what I found, and I share it. But last year, for the first time, I was able to sponsor my own from Pax Light. So I sent it was two girls and one guy. I sent them all on a study abroad redo. Yeah. So all of them had had their study abroads ruined by the pandemic, or had just weren't able to afford study abroad when they were in college or whatever. Like, and they're like, there's no second chances in life, but if I could, I would redo my study abroad. I'm like, I can do that.
Yeah.
Second chance. Why not? Like, love breaking the like limitations of your mind. Like, oh, you know, there's no second chances.
Yeah. Actually,
we're going to fix that. So I sent them abroad and they loved it, and like that was so beautiful. I did it again.
Yeah.
I brought three young women with me to Brazil Carnival with me.
Yes.
And that was fully funded, fully free for
them
through Intrepid Travel, which are the sponsors.
Yes.
So yeah, just being able to like, I want to travel. I have no idea where to get, like how to make it happen. I'm like, I know how to make it happen. So I feel like I have a lot of, it's kind of like, I don't say a responsibility, but I'm like, if I see a way, if I'm a connector, if I see a way to do it, I'm like, it doesn't make sense for me to not. Like,
right.
I need to do that.
Right.
I need, and I'm like nosy. I'm like, no, like, let me fix that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's really been beautiful seeing people travel and they're like, I would have never done this without you. I would have never had a way or had the money, had the confidence to do it. I'm like.
Yeah. No, we love that. It's the Pax Light effect.
It kind of is the Pax Light effect.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah, there we go. So I love that you are so transparent with your real thoughts, your real experiences, wherever you go. How was your carnival experience in Brazil?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And it's crazy because Brazil is the country with the highest percentage of black population outside of Africa, like the country. So I knew that and I was like, oh, I'm excited to see it. But then the feedback I heard from other people who had been to Brazil, general other people, like social media, was like, be careful. Like, literally be so careful. Like, hey, what? Don't take that step. Like, literally so much fear and anxiety around it. And I was like, okay, I'm bringing other people. We need to be like on our P's and Q's. And that was the energy going into it. And then the reality of it was that during Carnival, which is like, you know, tourist time.
Right.
Beautiful. I felt very safe. Yeah. And I posted videos about feeling like that. And I'm like, is that controversial? Like, I feel like you guys lied. Like, literally, I feel like you lied. And then the social media had a big uptick of Brazil content in general. And I started seeing a lot of black and brown people be like, I had a great time. I wasn't afraid I was going to get pickpocketed.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe this narrative was coming from not us, actually. Mm-hmm. So that was my experience in Brazil. I had a beautiful time. It was like, I was on Copacabana.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous, beautiful experience with the people and the reason I was there, of course. But like, I'm like, wait, I need to come back and spend a month here.
Yeah.
And I'm so, and like, that's the whole ethos too of Pax Light. I was like, I'm so glad I went for myself because y'all be lying or like y'all be speaking for things that you may not know the full truth about. So I'm like, I'm happy I went for myself.
Yeah. That's, I say that all the time because I'm like, Paris was one of the like most polarizing, I think.
Love or hate. There's no in between.
Exactly. Which I think, I still think it's hilarious, but. I told people I was going to Paris for the first time, and that was, like, my bucket list trip. I was, like, that city since I was, like, six. I was, like, I'm gonna go to Paris. Wow. She's gonna be great. It's gonna be a whole fairy tale. Like, amazing. And as the trip is actually, like, we're getting to that point, I am telling people, I'm, like, yeah, we're going to Paris. We're going to Italy. Amazing. Can't wait. I'm, like, oh, be careful in Paris.
Right.
And I was,
suddenly.
What do you mean? They're, like, yeah, like, people get robbed, racism, all the things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so first of all, in hindsight, and I was shook about this when we got there, but I was like, why is this like the most concentrated black people I've seen in Europe?
Yeah.
Because we're everywhere.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming. Beauty supply stores, easy to find.
That's actually a huge blessing.
Exactly. It's insane. Exactly. But I think it's so funny how people have these experiences, even if they're like in the grand scheme of, and you won't hear the disclaimer ever.
Right.
It's like, yeah, hated Paris, would never go again. I was there for 12 hours and like I just left the airport. Like, why don't you lead with that?
I want that to be in the front.
Why don't part. You lead with that?
I needed to know that part. Because, like, exactly. Why are you speaking actually?
You saw the airport. That's basically it.
Right. Like, well, they say it in this 2-block radius, actually.
Exactly. The food was so expensive. Where'd you go? The restaurant right outside the Louvre.
No,
you don't say.
Exactly. Like, wait, what? Yeah, I got robbed. What were you doing? Well, it was 5 a.m. and I was drunk and I did put my bag down. And
exactly. Right in front of the Eiffel Tower. Come on.
Yeah. Come on. Right.
I think it might have been you who said it. Funny enough, because that's hilarious. I really think it was you. I'm going to go back and look because I quote this often.
I know. Sorry, not sorry. But this conversation with Gabby was so good that we actually had to split it into 2 parts. So make sure you're subscribed to Gravitational everywhere you get your podcasts, and we will see you back here next week for part 2.